You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Go Plug Yourself. We've been talking to awesome people in Montreal since 2011. Just a friendly reminder that if you're going to be buying anything on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, go to 9to5.cc first and click the links at the bottom or in the sidebar so that we get a bit of that money. Also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and enjoy the show.
Go plug yourself. You plug and mother plugger. Go plug yourself.
So we're kicking off our this is a Battle War episode, Walter.
It's the Battle War episode.
We're not kicking, we're stomping here, brother.
Oh shit.
And we're with the fog piss, as we've
coined,
which stands for friend of go plug yourself.
Friend of go plug yourself.
Oh, I thought you were calling me a name.
I would never call you a name. We're returning.
We're in the currently shut down back of Foofs.
Yes, and
home fog, of Battle War.
The fog piss in question is Green Phantom.
The Green Phantom.
Yeah, baby.
Is the T capitalized?
Did you say there's a T?
Is the T capitalized? Is it the Green Phantom or just Green Phantom?
I don't care.
All right. Okay.
I was like, what does his T-shirt say? He's like, he's checking out.
Everything is capitalized as it should be.
When people call up my name, they don't say, "Hey, the Green Phantom." They're like, "Hey, Green Phantom." So
not that it matters, because the podcast...
It's a name and a title, really.
Sure.
The podcast will be coming out after all said and done this evening, but...
After you kick someone's ass.
Do you know whose ass you'll be kicking this evening?
No, I don't, actually.
All right, that's...
I don't. But it'll be somebody, don't worry.
So Phantom showed up with his boot shit kickers on just to kick someone's ass, doesn't even care who it is.
I was born to stomp.
How have things been going in Phantom War lately, Phantom?
Well, you had a big win last Battle War. You took out all the tank men. You finally got your hands on Patterson.
Yeah, finally got my hands on Patterson. Told him a joke or two, you know. Brought him down to his comedic world, and beat the piss out of him.
Was that satisfying for you?
It was a long time coming. I've been chasing him for a while.
You know? It was like a summer long thing, I think. Right?
More than that.
Yeah.
It started off in the spring.
Yeah.
It touched on it most Battle Wars. I remember even at Heavy MTL, there was a bit of dick face that happened while you were still feuding with the tank.
Yeah. That's it became part of my arsenal.
That dick face maneuver has been a phenomenal.
It's been a hit with the fans. They chant for it. So you know.
Maybe it's new T-shirt time. Dick face.
I dispel the myth of you can't teach an old dog new tricks, because I'm an old dog and I've learned a new trick. Watch out for the dick face.
initially designed by Killer Kowalski, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it the dick face, like an old school wrestling?
Yeah, Kowalski.
Now you don't have to watch out just for the phantasm. You also have to watch out for getting someone's dick shoved in your face.
That's it. Fear the phantom forever.
Now, are you involved? Where are you sort of placed in the whole the title competition here?
I don't think they put me in that tournament. I think I intimidate people. I don't think. I guess they wanted to give it a chance to other people. I know if I got into that tournament, you know what's going to happen.
I feel like I want to pull up the card for tonight, just in case you are in fact implicated in the tournament.
Yeah, pull it up. I don't think I'm in that tournament. Like I said, I think. I'd intimidate people. I think they put me in that tournament. You know who's going to win that tournament. So
you're kind of—it's like the Undertaker of Battle War.
You're
outside of the title picture because you're on a whole other level of intimidation.
You know, some people need titles to make them great. I'm great already, brother.
So you have no idea what's up for you next.
I'm going to pull it up. I'm pulling it up. You guys chat idly, and I'm going to pull up the card for
I'm
tonight.
Waiting to see.
He's a super professional.
I don't think Patterson will show his face here today. So
no.
I'm still on Patterson watch. Hope he.
What were
the? I was a little upset
a little upset with the fact that your match with Patterson involved me having to see Patterson without his shirt on for well, like such an extended period
that,
of time.
I think that was Patterson's call.
That was his call, yeah. He wanted to dress like a wrestler. Unfortunately, he dressed like a wrestler.
Unfortunately for everyone.
You should have come out like in a blazer and a tie. And so, like,
a loose tie and board shorts or something.
Dressed as like a
dress as Patterson.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So this is going to be coming up next Thursday. So in terms of like Phantom stuff, what else do you have coming up other than Battle War, obviously?
Well, right now Battle War is the main promotion here in Montreal. It's definitely the best one. I got a couple of gigs here and there. You know, I'm not as busy as some wrestlers who get booked everywhere.
Gesturing off mic over to Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it seems like as the years have been added to me. I get bookings taken away from me. I don't know. I think, like I said, I think a lot of people are scared of what the Green Phantom brings to the ring. You know, usually death and destruction.
Yeah. Well, I saw the picture you posted up on the Battle War page of you putting, I think it was Eddie, through a table. That was nice, old school.
I've done that a few times.
Shot him.
Yeah, definitely put it
on the
table.
Do you have the card?
I did. You know what? And yeah, and I think it is. It will remain a surprise up until showtime this evening as to what event you're taking part in.
Oh, does it say Phantom Nothing?
Is it just
like the hardcore hero Green Phantom is here.
I don't even think it says I'm there today.
I'm not seeing it in the updated line.
But I'm here.
But
trust me.
You're here. And,
but I was like, it sucks this isn't going up live because it'd be a scoop. To be like, if you're afraid that fucking Phantom isn't gonna be here, he's gonna be here. So yeah, so I guess this is. I guess we're sort of promoting the what is it, December 8th?
The next one, eighth event.
Next one.
Yeah, that is happening in the December.
Yeah, since it's near Christmas, I usually bust out my.
Is it going to come up? Do you think it's going to happen?
I have no idea why it wouldn't. That's my claim.
We're talking about your patented match.
My patented hardcore holiday Christmas tree death match.
Which is.
Can you explain the details of the? I've seen it on YouTube some, but for our listeners.
It's merrymaking at its finest. You know, we get gifts, we get trees, we get lights, and we smash them all together and into people's faces.
Only slightly better than the eggnog on a pole match.
Yeah, I've never actually seen one of those.
Yeah, it's good.
I guess the Christmas holiday. Hardcore holiday?
Holiday Christmas tree death match.
It must smell real nice, I'm imagining.
It has that kind of piney.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like, ah,
how many of those, how many of these matches would you say you've had in your career?
Pretty much at least one a year.
Yeah.
Do one around
March.
So I've been doing this for like 15, 16 years, so
Jesus.
I'd say about 15 or 16 of them, something like that.
Do you have a dream opponent that you want to take into the holiday death match?
Santa Claus. I would really, really like to face Santa Claus.
I mean,
in a Christmas tree death match.
You've destroyed Mike Patterson, so you know that.
It should be a loser leaves town match, also. And so Green Phantom will become Santa Claus if he wins.
Put your sleigh on the line, brother.
Well, I think on that note, thank you, Mr. Phantom Sir, for joining us today, and best of luck with the upcoming holiday season. We know it's taxing on you, and.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good, though. It's because Christmas, there's all kinds of Christmas colors, and one of them being green, you know, it's a great time of year.
And then if you crack someone open, you get the red, and then you're set.
Yeah. All right, guys, get with the green.
Thank you, sir. You guys
take care.
Thanks, man.
Waiting in the wings.
In the wings?
You're just keeping it going. Just keeping it going is our next guest today from the representing the Battle War promotion.
I'm Bucks Dumar.
Oh, come on now. That was still Phantom. The sophomore mechanics of the Green Phantom, ladies and gentlemen.
Possibly, you know, calling Bucks out for his holiday death match.
And his ridiculously high voice. Welcome to the podcast, Bucks Belmar.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
From the Hochelaga Maisonneuve area of Montreal.
Cartier Schlager.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
I was driving through there and I could not help but think of you.
Oh yeah.
I was like I got.
It's a nice place. Huh?
Yeah. Exactly. Like I got lost. Well, not lost. It was I was over like in RDP, and instead of like the 40 was all backed up. So I was.
You're
like,
really
okay.
lost in RDP if you think you're an RDP and you're in fucking.
No, no, no. But then I was like, okay, well, I'll just go south and like head through the city because it was like rush hour, so I figured it would be less traffic, and ended up driving through Hochschlagen Maze, and I was like. Like the little, like the super sad bars, yeah. And the like a bar, and then like vacant, yeah. abandoned warehouse.
So you
like,
would see the universe, of yeah. where it comes from.
Exactly. I was just sort of like, I was like, man, it was like it's so weird to even like think of that place as being like on island. Like you feel like you're in another,
yeah,
like,
it's another world.
Exactly. A world that spawns Bucks Belmar, I guess.
Exactly. That created Bucks Belmar.
you've been a pretty big mainstay of Battle War. For since like started,
yeah, so, yeah, I've been to all of
them. You've been every and you had a big event last month. You won in opening round action of the title tournament.
Yes,
and you have a big night tonight, but there's a bit of contention leading into the match tonight because you're going to be teaming with longtime adversary Shane Hawk.
Yes,
how do you what are your thoughts going into this against TDT?
Well, I know TDT is a pretty TDT is pretty rough.
Yeah.
And you need to have goodwill if you want to win against them. So I really don't know how things will turn out because I'm teaming with someone I really hate.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll do our best. Even if we hate each other, we pretty know a lot about each other because we've been facing so many times. So I guess this chemistry will work out if we both acknowledge that we need to work out together to beat people tough as TDT.
Right.
You've tagged with TDT also.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
you're
heavy tag with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, so this is a little contention that you've like you've tagged with them.
And I know what they're capable of, so that's why I'm like, okay, so I really need to focus if I want to win this.
So you think you'll be able to set your animosity aside and, you know, I mean, work harmoniously with Shane?
It all depends on Shane's attitudes.
Right.
Yeah.
What would have been some of your what's in the past? What have some of your issues been with Mr. Hawk?
Is it because he's from the West Island?
Well,
is it a geographic issue?
There's a part of it that comes from the West Island, but it's just that this guy pretending to be someone wicked and someone that has no rules and lives by itself, where I don't really believe in that kind of person he says he is, which I think I'm more that kind of person. So pretending to be myself was kind of an issue for me, so I needed to make him realize that the wicked guy is not him.
Right.
And when I showed him that I was really wicked by puking in his mouth the first time,
right.
Stopped it.
As you do.
As I did. But it was the first time that I was in actually someone's mouth.
Yeah.
Which was pretty disgusting. And I humiliated him just to show him that the wicked guy in Battle War is Bucks Belmar, not Shane Hogg. You can pretend to be whoever you want, but you're not wicked. I am the one. And that became personal because obviously he fought back, right?
You say obviously it became personal, but like you threw up in his mouth. Like it's hard for that. Like I really don't think there's a lot of people that would have shrugged that off.
Was there
I
part
wouldn't
of
mind.
You would have been okay with it.
No. I wouldn't mind throwing my mouth. I don't mind dirty stuff.
Oh.
Where did you pick up a lot of these filthy habits? The throwing up in people's mouths, the spitting, the
not always swallowing the drink in your mouth.
Yeah.
It's part of my reality of every day. Right. I'm a dirty man every day. Right. So when I'm in the ring, I'm just being myself as much as I can be because there is no rules, right? I can be how I am.
For as long as you remember, have you always been a dirty man?
No.
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 You started off as a clean young
as a clean young guy who got destroyed by the wrestling world and then sees it in another way, which is there's no rules and there's no other way to win than being your own kind.
I have a question. Have you ever seen now? I see it like you know from the perspective of an audience member. I see during your matches a lot of sometimes people get a little queasy, a little bit physically unwell watching these. These displays of
get disgust.
Yeah, they get a little nauseous. Like, have you ever seen an audience member actually throw up because of your antics?
Yes.
Yes.
Once.
Was that were you proud of yourself?
I wasn't proud of myself. My goal is not to make you puke; is to make you feel sensation that you would never have if you wouldn't be watching me. But making you puke is over the limit.
Where was it? Where were you when someone puked?
Where I was?
Where was the?
It was a spot show where I took a trash can out of nowhere and brought it to the ring, grabbed the piece of sandwich that I found in the end of the bag and actually ate it. And while I swallowed the piece of sandwich, that's when I saw a pregnant woman started puking. And everybody went crazy because she obviously started puking next to everybody. And then it did like kind of a scene, but like they told me to stop my dirty shit right now and go into the match. But got a hell of a reaction.
You seem pretty healthy, though. You seem pretty fit. You know, for someone who does engage in such
someone who eats garbage
filthy antics.
Well, being filthy does not affect your health because it's all in mind, right? It's all in what you believe in.
The sandwich wasn't disgusting.
Well, it wasn't disgusting. If you look at it from my perspective, it was only something to eat right there that I ate. I didn't get sick because I knew this is part of me. This is me. I do that kind of stuff, and I won't get sick by doing it.
I was also saying that it's a little bit weird. I think my first battle war that I went to was like 3, I think. It was one where Steen was there. I think that was early. That was way early. Either way, but you, like, the Battle War fans are sort of, like, I think coming on board with Bucks now. Like at first you were like, oh, like, obviously, but now they cheer your disgusting acts. Like, I think they're beginning to accept you for who you are, it seems like. From a fan perspective, does that like bother you, or are you like?
No, that doesn't bother me because I will always be that kind of guy, and I will always do that kind of shit in the ring, whatever they hate it or they love it. What I want is them to react to what I do. If nobody's reacting, what's the point of being?
So if they get grossed out or if they cheer, you don't care.
I prefer them to be grossed out.
What if they get grossed out and cheer?
Well, fine to them. That's okay with me.
Bucks, at the end of the day, a lot of the kids in the crowd are looking out at Bucks Belmar as a kind of role model.
I don't think that's true at all.
I don't think I'm a role model for kids.
Parents bring
their
children here, and they look up at you, and does this worry you? Do you lose sleep over this?
Well, it really depends on where I'm wrestling. You know, here it's a bar, so it's 18 plus. There is no kids. People can drink, and they are aware of what's going on. Can be sexual and anything can happen. It's 18 plus. But when I know I'm in a PG era, I won't do the sexual stuff because they ask me to not do, right?
Leave the condoms at home.
Leave the condoms at home. Even if I want to, it's under the contract. There's no way I can do it. They like my dirty style, but they don't want me to do dirty stuff.
Now, I saw you do the condom bit at a show this summer in Greeley, Ontario.
Yes.
Yeah. which had a mixed crowd. Like there were some youngsters.
Yes. But no, like I said, every time I go to a show, that's the first time I'm wrestling for them. It says I do sexual stuff and I do pretty gross stuff.
If
you don't want me to do anything of those things, please tell me
before.
They were
cool.
Otherwise, I'm doing them.
Otherwise, I'm doing them. Why not?
If you don't tell me not to, it's happening.
Yeah.
So.
But I'll definitely tell them that before the show. You know, you know me. You asked me to be booked, so you know the kind I do. So if you don't want me to do certain stuff, you need to tell me right now because I will do them in the ring. Huh.
Have you ever had anybody mad at you? I mean, other than, I guess.
Yeah, because of masturbating signs, like I pretend to be masturbating in front of people. There were some kids in the crowd sometimes that people got disturbed by that. I couldn't understand.
Yeah. I can understand where they're coming from.
Yeah,
same time.
I try to find others more subtile way to show you that I'm sexually attracted by the crowd.
the legally aged element of the crowd.
Yeah.
Going ahead, this title tournament is going to continue for the next few months. How driven are you to be the first ever Battle War?
I'm totally going to win this. This is part of me. Yes.
It's not a guess here.
It's not a guess.
I'm
going to get that belt. Fofun Electric is the bar I've went. All my teenage years, this is where I was drunk the most. This is where I got the most of stories. The foof is a part of me as much as I am a part of the foof. Uh-huh. And I believe that this is the place for me to represent an idea as Bucks Belmar.
This is Bucks Belmar's Madison Square
Garden. This is my hometown. I live right next to here. There's a bunch of hobos. There's a bunch of free food. This is my place. And this title is made for Bucks Belmar.
So if you had to predict your final two, so it's you and... Who else on the line, if you had to predict the tournament?
Well, I think all the contenders has a chance to win the Battle War title, obviously.
So far, we've seen a lot of really good matches overall, good matchups.
And we're not even through the first round.
We're not even through the first round. If you had to predict a final two, so obviously you.
Obviously, yeah. Oh, man, I really can't guess. I really hope that it's not Shane Hawk.
Who you are, again, partnering with tonight.
Who am I, again, partnering with tonight.
Well, on that note, thank you very much, Bucks, for joining us here on the podcast. So hopefully we can do this again soon. Maybe you'll get your full hour. Once you're champion, we could do a sit down for the full
champion
hour.
Sit down.
Do a full profile, the life and times of Dirty Bucks.
Yeah, I'll gladly tell you my dirty stories.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks a
lot. Have a good day, guys.
Microphone well placed.
There's no audio that's going to come in through the headset.
Oh, I don't need
that.
Exactly.
Perfect.
So this is our Battle War special.
Rolls along on the Battle War train. The Battle Train
MC War. / ring announcer / former in-ring talent, Beef Wellington.
Okay.
By Beef Wellington.
Well, I'm saying, is there more?
That sounds pretty accurate.
We wanted to make sure we got all your titles.
I'm also a history major and a logistics manager.
Are you single?
What? No, I'm a married man.
Sorry. Oh, okay. So I was going to be like, let's record
eligible
a personal
bachelor
ad.
Segment with Beef Wellington.
I like long walks on the beach.
Exactly.
Long walks on the beef. You know what I'm saying? That makes zero sense.
Long walks on the beef.
Yeah.
Milk steaks.
I don't know the original story behind your name.
Other than the fact that it's delicious?
Other than, you know, you are a studly specimen of professional wrestling.
This is the most sexually charged podcast Ranger. I've ever been a part of.
Instantaneously, Walter just goes right there.
The genesis, if you will, of the name Beef Wellington. I had shorts that were cow print, and a friend of mine was going to be Beef Wellington, and then he decided not to be. And I had my first IWS match with my boy Kid Kamikaze, and they asked me what name I wanted to use, and I didn't have anything better, so I went with Beef Wellington, and then I was kind of stuck with it, even when I realized there was previously a Biff Wellington, and then some OVW guy named Beef Wellington as well, and I don't know, too late.
But as far as you know, right now, you are the only Beef Wellington out there in the world.
I can't say that with any certainty. Yes, I'm absolutely the only Beef Wellington, the official...
Hashtag real Beef Wellington. What's your Twitter handle?
I don't know anything about hashtags.
Do you have a Twitter handle?
I do. I have
the real Beef Wellington.
No, it's just ass punch, like the little swirly ASS punch, you know?
Uh-huh.
I've tweeted once in my life.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to get up onto the big screen at the Bell Center for Sami Zayn's debut. I tweeted at him to play Astro Zombies because as Misfits fans, we yell at every band ever to play Astro Zombies,
right.
And most of them don't do it. And it didn't get up on there. And I'll never tweet again.
So you're done.
Yeah, that's my Twitter career.
Are you more or less done with Twitter than you are in the ring?
Ooh, that's Keith hits those with the hard hitting drive.
Yeah, I like that transition. No, I'm much more likely to get in the ring again than I am to tweet anytime soon.
Crazy.
How long has it been since you've had an active ring career thing?
Oh, well, I stopped wrestling really at the first Battle War show. That was my last match against Giant Tiger, but I have wrestled twice since then for charity only.
Giant Tiger retired you.
Yeah. I beat him.
Okay.
I think that's the first time I ever beat Giant Tiger.
And have there been injury issues or?
Nothing specific, just a lot of bruises. I got partially torn ligaments in both my knees, dislocated shoulder, a couple of concussions, and a lot of scars. And I'm old and out of shape.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to get beat up anymore.
Can you just quote that line from The Wrestler and say it like Mickey Rourke? I'm an old beat up piece of meat.
I'm Beef Wellington?
No, well, I didn't even think of that, but now that you said that.
Don't play Walter's game.
Yeah.
Don't just fucking every wrestler we have on the show. He's like, two lines from The Wrestler.
You ever see that one movie with Mickey Rourke?
True story. I could have met Mickey Rourke one time at CZW. No, I was getting a blowjob in my car.
Worth it.
And I missed meeting Mickey Rourke.
What was he there for, like 2 minutes?
No, he was at...
It was her non-lasting.
They filmed some scenes from The Wrestler at CZW, like during live shows.
Right, geographically, where was that?
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, right, yeah, because it's...
In South Philly.
He has the match with, like, Necro...
With Necro Butcher. When they filmed that match with Necro Butcher and the stunt double...
Going down on you.
No, not that. That was, like, later on.
Okay.
No, that show, when they filmed that match, I was the next match in the ring after Mickey Rourke filmed this thing with the Necro Butcher. And I actually cut a promo about how I saw this hot blonde chick backstage and wanted to fuck her. And it turned out to be Mickey Rourke. And I was kind of hoping Mickey Rourke would confront me. I was hoping he'd overhear it and start something with me in the back, and I could say I got punched in the face by Mickey Rourke. But
hoping to get a rise out of Rourke.
Yeah.
Just be like, maybe he'll run in.
Didn't happen.
Damn.
I wanna talk a little bit about
how was blowjob 1 to 10
about the blowjob.
I'm a married man now. I probably shouldn't have told that story at all.
You were married at the time, though.
No, I was not married at the time. No, absolutely not.
I want to talk a little bit about the tournament for the first ever Battle War title.
Yeah, absolutely.
From your perspective up there, the announcer's table, as the ring announcer, how are you seeing this unfold so far? I know it's hard to say. We've only seen the half of the first round. It's continuing tonight, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so far, so we've seen three matches, three competitors move on, and we've got another three matches tonight. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that the six winners are going to face each other on December 8th in a championship six-way scramble match.
Oh,
yeah, shit. A Mark the Grizzly special. And I think it's going to be balls to the wall, all out, everyone going crazy trying to win that title and be the first Battle War champion, which is very cool.
Heard it here first. Kids.
Do you have a pick from your lofty perch on the fifth stage?
Giant Tiger is in there, and it's hard to count Giant Tiger out.
It's just very difficult. He's all squirrely, and it's just
He's greasy. He's hard to get a hold of.
A combination of his own bodily greases.
Yeah, and butter. Well, he butters up
butter,
prior
and
to
actual
yeah.
butter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just very hard to count him out.
Yeah.
Now I was going to ask if part of you wishes that you could be in that tournament yourself.
No. No, I gotta tell you, I really legitimately have no interest in continuing to wrestle. I did it for 12 years. I had a lot of fun. I got beat up a lot. I'm happy just announcing the shows. I get to come hang out with my friends, watch the wrestling, just still be a part of it in front of a crowd, but without getting my ass kicked. The thing is, it seems like a couple of assholes by the name of Thomas Dubois and Mathieu Saint-Jacques are determined to get me back in the ring.
The previously mentioned by Bucks Belmar, the previously mentioned Tabelnak, is it their team or du team? My French is terrible. Their team.
Doesn't matter.
TDT.
Yeah, those
guys. They've been giving you a little bit of static.
Yeah, no, they're legitimate assholes. I don't know. I can't speak for anyone else backstage, but I really don't like those guys. Uh-huh. I never really have.
Right.
Not that I think I'm special or anything, but I've been around a long time. I think you could show me a little bit of respect. I mean, and they just don't. Backstage, in the ring, wherever it is, they're just real dickheads.
Did you do something that you can think of?
Not that I know of.
No.
And if I did, I wish they'd just tell me. But no, they've come out, and literally every month, whether they're supposed to be involved with me or not, just continue to get in my face.
Right.
To the point where now I kind of have no choice. I think I'm going to have to get in the ring with these guys now. And I'm not interested, but if I have to, I have to. I'm not a bitch. I'm not going to sit there and let them fuck with me constantly. So I'm going to get back in the ring. And
yeah, are you going to handicap against them? Or are you going to – do you have someone in mind? Or is it too early to tell?
I can't really get into it. Honestly, I don't know what's going to happen. But let's just say I've been in this business a long time. I have some friends. And I don't think I'm going to be going in there alone. No, I'm not going to let them push me around.
There certainly have been, reoccurring one more match chance coming from the crowd, some of which not even started by me.
Oh.
Yeah. A lot of them are started by
you. A lot of them,
you.
I'll be honest. I started a lot of them.
Yeah, so I guess maybe the crowd is to blame for me having to get back in the ring.
Like, personally,
You? Yeah. No, so it's your fault.
Yeah, it's actually
a son bit. Of a bitch.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So in 12 years, do you have any like standouts of like your like best time ever or like?
My IWS match with Super Dragon is probably my favorite match that I've ever been in. Yeah,
sorry.
Sure.
Super Dragon.
Yeah, him. Okay. he's another real asshole, but that was actually, it was really cool. I mean, I wrestled him once in my first match in the U.S. Against Super Dragon at Jersey All Pro, and they paid me extra because I was wrestling him, and I knew I was going to get punched in the face a lot, which is kind of funny.
Hazard pay, I guess.
Yeah, but actually, he made me famous in the States because I hit him with the ass punch, and he flew through the ropes like and toe-paid to the floor.
Wow.
And kind of just
can you describe the ass punch? What's the other than punching in the ass?
Well, it's the dumbest move in wrestling.
You history. Punch a guy in the ass.
Yeah. Jump off the top rope and punch a guy in the ass. You know, I mean, it came from watching Deuce Bigalow, American Gigolo, one of the, you know, most important films of our
classics
time.
Classics of American.
Yeah,
comedy.
Yeah, and, you know, yes, and Rob, not so much from the physical act of Rob Schneider punching a hooker in the ass,
right.
But when TJ, the man pimp, says to him, you know, who's Claire, the hooker you ass punched, I thought an ass punch is just humorous. So it started off as a double team move with me and my partner, Kid K. We both attempted, it was a simultaneous ass punch. Didn't work. That was once. Then the second time I ever tried to do it was just me on Latino Mysterio of the Latino Connection. And I jumped off the top rope, kind of slipped jumping, jabbed him with my left hand and broke my hand on his tailbone.
Hmm. That'll teach you.
That was
such a death-defying move.
That's it. So it's dangerous and hardcore. So I broke my hand and the move just kind of took off from there. And I went a long way on that stupid move.
Now I remember I used to catch some of your matches when you guys were set up at Bogey's.
Yes, Bogey's World, the luxurious Bogey's World.
Fantastic venue.
Everybody loved working at Bogey's World. Yes.
And now, if I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong here, but were you teamed with Sexy Eddie back then at all, or did you have a lot of?
No, I think you're mistaking me for Lufisto. I get that a lot.
That's possibly it. It was one or the other.
Yeah.
I know. But were you fighting, where you had matches against him? I remember you guys were frequently going to be on the same card.
Yes, we did wrestle in the same promotion. Besides that, I think you're completely
all
off
right.
Base, but, it's okay.
I was frequently inebriated for those Bogeys events, so no, my memories of them are hazy at best.
No, the first Bogeys show that we ever ran, I believe the main event, I teamed with Damien against Kevin Steen and El Generico back when they were hanging out with PCP Manny and just being douchebags. And, it was pretty wild, actually. That first Bogeys show was actually a lot of fun. I mean, we had a wild brawl, a good crowd in there.
Yeah, no, there was
that place was just a shithole.
There was good matches. There was good events there.
There was some good stuff, but the atmosphere just didn't. After IWS left Le Scratch, it was hard to find our footing. We had a couple of Unison, The Break, and then Bogeys, and it just never really recaptured. I mean, we even went back to The Scratch after that, but it was hard. It was tough after that. It was definitely not the glory days of the IWS.
Yeah, Battleworld must be pretty psyched to have Fuffs as a venue. Like, overall, like, this venue is kick-ass.
Oh,
like,
Fuffs is great.
Yeah,
great, and it's perfect for Battleworld. Like, I've said it on the mic before, but I think Battleworld, I mean, without the sex and some of the violence, Battleworld is so much an embodiment of what the IWS used to be, with just the rabid fan base, the wrestlers going out there to top each other and just put on the best show they can and just have a great time. And it comes through. Like, you could tell everybody's having fun in the ring.
Battle War
shows, and everyone's having fun in the crowd. And I can't say enough how much fun it is.
No, that's what we have. Like, often, like, frequently, I've seen a couple other, like, feds or whatever. People are like, yeah, this is pretty good. I'm like, you really should come to Battle War. Like, it's just, like, head and shoulders. Like, if you're watching amateur wrestling or whatever, anywhere in the city, like, it really is, like, it's all right, but you should probably go to Battle War.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's kind of the, like, it's, like, my general, like, my gist of, like, and obviously you have some of the talent that goes around to
I think you should specify when you use terms like amateur wrestling that it's not guys in singlets and in the helmets doing the...
There's not a lot of that. I'm going to be disappointed later tonight. That's what I thought.
Yeah, most church basement wrestling shows do not feature Greco-Roman.
Nobody's getting points for moves or anything. You know, it's just...
amateur pro wrestling.
No singlets. You're more likely to find jogging pants on the competitors at some wrestling
shows. Exactly. No jogging pants at Battle War. Except for Patterson. Patterson probably wears jogging pants.
And he was in wrestling.
Patterson's a fashion plate. He's a special. I love Mike Patterson. he spits on me a lot when he talks from the stage, and I'm standing in the ring cowering. But
he's one of the reasons we have to watch these muffs. He's been on the show a few times.
He spits a lot, but he's a funny motherfucker. I'm a big Mike Patterson fan.
You're a Mike Patterson guy?
I'm a Mike Patterson guy, yeah. ever since the days of his cock rock band, Misogynizer, he once played like a 45-minute music video before an IWS show, and it was just went on forever. But man, holy shit! But I'm a big fan. I always enjoy listening to Patterson whenever he screams into a microphone.
But he was disposed of pretty handily last month by the Green Phantom in a blow-off match that was long time coming.
Yeah, he got dick-faced for sure.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's the last we'll see of Mike Patterson.
Do you think he'll figure into this tournament going down the road in any kind of way?
Do I think Mike Patterson will figure into the tournament?
Not as a competitor.
I would love to see Mike Patterson compete for the title. No, Mike Patterson is currently managing the Tankmen, who function as a unit. Yes. So I don't see them getting involved unless he brings back
Tank
Electrico.
Rukin, but Tank Rukin is in singles.
Oh, Tank Rukin is in the tournament. Thank you for making me look like I don't
follow
the product.
We'll edit this out.
I'm an amateur.
You'll be correcting me.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I was saying, definitely Mike Patterson can get involved because Tank Rukin, as we all know, is in the tournament.
Is in the tournament.
Yeah.
So this is only coming up on Thursday. So if he loses his match, he won't be in the six-man scramble.
Right.
We'll keep you posted, kids.
So
do we know who his opponent is tonight?
Tank Rukin, I know this, will be taking on Player Uno tonight.
Player Uno.
True story, Player Uno and I missed out on a chance to do coke with Guttermouth a couple of weeks ago.
The Guttermouth the band?
Yeah, Guttermouth the band.
I was like, maybe it's a rest of that.
Was it because you were both getting blowjobs?
No, we're both married men now, so we don't
get blowjobs.
Were
you giving each other blowjobs?
No.
I remember there was a period in, like, I think early 2000s where Guttermouth was just, like, opening every punk rock show in Montreal.
Really?
Yeah, I think they ran out of money or something.
I must have missed out on that because I went to see Guttermouth, me and Kid K, my former tag team partner. We went to see Guttermouth years ago at the Spectrum. We showed up, and it was sold out, and we were so miserable. We just sat outside the venue smoking joints for, like, the whole night and just kind of moping. And I never saw them coming back, as far as I knew, until I saw that they were playing here a couple of weeks ago, and I got very excited. And so Uno and I went to check it out.
Yep.
It was the punkest show I've ever been to. The place was sweaty and disgusting and full of people, and Agent Orange opened for them, who were awesome. And Guttermouth came on at about 12:30 in the morning, coked up as all fuck.
as you do.
They played. It was fun. I mean, it was most of what they were playing was unintelligible, but it was a good time.
I saw a show where it was Distillers, AFI, and Rancid, and it was pre-shitty AFI.
Yeah.
So,
I was about to say, I'm like, why are you bragging about
this? Like, 95?
Probably.
Because I saw Rancid and AFI in, like, 95. I don't remember the Distillers, but it's possible.
Maybe. Distillers were opening. Like, I don't even think they had a release out yet. Like,
It's very possible.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, it was fucking amazing because Tim Armstrong was just destroyed. Like, this is the noise that came out of his guitar line. Because he would just, like, hit it and then, like, wander away. So, like, Lars is, like, covering for him on, like, all the lyrics, all the everything. And just Tim is just destroyed on set. You're like, fucking, why are you even here, Tim? Like, just go home.
Punk rock, man.
You're just wrecking the show.
That's
it's
awesome.
Like, height of heroin, Tim Armstrong, like, fucking late 90s, mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
It's good times.
This has been Go Plug Substance Abuse.
Yeah. No, we're talking punk rock, man. It's my favorite subject in the world, so
this
is great.
Battle Wars, the...
You must have seen some good shows here.
I've seen the Bouncing Souls here a couple of times. I saw Hot Water Music, Street Dogs. I saw Ice-T here, which was pretty cool, actually.
Ice-T.
Yeah, Ice-T.
Was it Ice-T or was it Body Count?
No, it was Ice-T. And the crowd, people kept yelling at him to play Body Count. And
play Cop Killer.
Yeah, they wanted Cop Killer, and he got pissed. He's like, do you see motherfucking musicians here? Do you see a drum set and guitars? No, this is not Body Count. It's fucking Ice-T. Then he told a great joke. He was talking about being on Law and Order SVU and how, like, people ask him, like, how can you, after Cop Killer and all that shit, be on, go and play a cop on TV? And he's like, $300,000 an episode, motherfuckers. That's how. Okay. And then then he told this joke, and let me see if I can remember it. He said, this guy's in his car. He's fooling around with his girlfriend. They're making out in the seat, and he's fingering her in the seat. She's jerking him off on the side, and he turns to her and says, baby, I'm going to fuck you in the ass. She says, fuck me in the ass. Don't you think that's a little presumptuous? And he says, presumptuous? Don't you think that's a big word for an 8-year-old?
Hey!
Oh. Thanks, Ice-T.
Classy.
Ice-T, class act, everybody.
I repeat that joke often. Yeah.
I think it's a good way to. Are we gonna end our spot with beef?
I think so. Yeah.
We'll go on wanting more, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Well, and I figured we could have you on. Like, all these guys, we should have on for the.
Yeah,
full
we'd love to have
conditions.
You on for. We'd love to have you on for full.
Yeah,
episodes,
me and Ice-T will come on together.
That'd be great. Or you could just it'd be an hour of Beef Wellington telling Ice-T anecdotes and jokes.
That's the extent of my Ice-T anecdotes. I saw Ice Cube once. I don't know if that.
Save it. We're gonna save that one for the next.
Are you going to see Wu-Tang at the end of the month?
I'd like to. You want to come with me? No one wants to go.
He's
going
to be there.
I'm already going to be there.
All right. Maybe.
So we should go smoke joints in the front all night long. We should get kicked out on purpose and then just smoke joints in the front.
No, that's not what I'm aiming for.
Or not. But,
dude, all right, thanks for coming out,
Beef. All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you,
sir. This has been informative and gay.
Yeah.
As every episode is. Maybe we're closing off. You think we're closing off?
I would imagine. We might have another Spurraz guest. But for now...
Hailing from the West Island.
Hailing all the way from the West Island.
All the way. the trip down the 20? Like, a little closer?
Yeah, I generally take the 40, but, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Whatever. Superstar.
Shane Hawk.
That's me.
The Ginger World Order.
Ginger World Order. We're taking over.
Love those shirts.
Hang on.
Gingers in general.
Okay. I was just wondering if... I was like, I've seen the shirts.
Well, the NWO had the catchphrase, we're taking over. That was their whole thing.
But so. I was just wondering if you had, if there was, a secret group of ginger wrestlers who were going to eventually hold all the independent wrestling belts.
If it was a secret, I wouldn't really broadcast it right now.
Maybe the members of it.
Well, yeah. There are several ginger wrestlers in the world that you might know of.
The Undertaker,
for one.
Uh-huh.
I saw a clip today of a match from the mid-80s, and it was in Japan, and it was Scott Hall and you know, Mark Calloway teaming together for before there were well-known characters, and fucking Undertaker's hair, Mark, is shockingly red. It's insanely red. It was curly, and kind of he had the beard going too. He's doing a weird sort of
bushwhacker.
He's, I swear to God, he's coming out to the ring doing bushwhacker walk. Well, I'm like, are you doing, Undertaker?
Actually, from what I understand, from what I understand, originally in the urn that he carried to the ring with him was actually his ginger hair in the first place. Once he took it off, that was where the power was. It was either that, or maybe he was so good in that match because of Scott Hall's Tom Selleck style mustache.
It was very much the Selleck stash.
Very much so. Big Scott Hall with that mustache was impressive.
So Ginger, do you have a?
Are you just calling him Ginger now? Yeah. Ginger.
Wrestling Gingers. Did you grow up and was there a wrestler who you were like, he's a redhead like me, I'm gonna be him?
Do
you have any idols?
No, but who was there? Harley Race was blonde and gray by the time I started watching wrestling, and there was Lash LaRue.
Lash.
So, but we don't really need to talk about him because I don't feel like blushing right now.
Let's talk about a little bit what's going on tonight, which doesn't matter because this is going to come out after that. But
the fallout of this will all to be known.
Right.
You're going to be teaming with Bucks Belmar, and you've had numerous confrontations during Battle Wars run here at Phillips and elsewhere. A lot of memorable matches, a lot of brutal matches with Bucks, a lot of disturbingly disgusting matches with Bucks.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had so much bodily fluid by one individual person on my body in my entire life, but I've had his puke, his blood, his sweat. I mean, we really just hit trifecta on that.
We don't know what was in the condom.
Oh, God forbid.
How do you think that dynamic is going to change as you are find yourself in a team with him?
It's not the first time I've been teaming with a guy who didn't like me very much, especially growing up the way I did. You know, you grow up ginger, you grow up small, you tend to get picked on a lot, and you kind of have to make allies as you can go along. So, I'm hoping that this competitive spirit will... who am I kidding? He has no competitive spirit. Really, all he wants to do is just go out there and mess with people, so...
Really? Sorry to interrupt you, but he said he was going to be Battle War Champion.
He says a lot of things.
But you said, that's a competitive spirit. He was like, I was born to do this. He's like, Fuffs is where I will be champion.
I feel like he wants to be the champion just so he could, defecate on
him. I also feel that.
He wants to be champion just so he can completely...
Or so he could sell it. He could pawn the belt for crack money. I don't know what he does in his spare time. I mean, I brawled down the street with him, down St. Catherine Street, out the front gates of Fufun's, one of these shows, and we walked down the street, and fighting, and I kid you not, there were at least six or seven meth heads who all stopped to acknowledge him and say hi.
They're like, hey, Bucks!
Hey, Bucks! They call him Boo Boo, actually.
Boo Boo Bucks
Belmar. Boo Boo Bucks Belmar.
Where does that come from?
Just B-U-B-U. That's just what I came up with. But, am I worried? Yes. I mean, TDT, obviously,
they've beat people up. They've tagged together, also.
They have been a unit for a very long time. Actually, on the inaugural Battle War show, I was in a tandem with TDT, or trio rather, and so there's a lot of history there. You know, Saint-Jacques and Dubois and I, we go back a long time. Bucks and I go back an even longer time. I'm just hoping that the bulls in a china shop that are TDT will say something stupid and maybe channel Bucks' disgusting rage in their direction, because as much as I'm not looking forward to fighting three people, I think that might be what happens tonight.
Yeah. Well, faced... You were involved? Possibly. I know that Bucks and TDT were together at Heavy MTL as a trio.
Yes.
I don't know if you were involved on the other side.
I was not. No, that was Radioactive Wave and Vanessa Craven.
Right.
I actually didn't wrestle very much at Heavy MTL. I just defended the NWA Canadian Tag Titles against 3.0.
Oh. I didn't wrestle much. Just defended the titles. No,
yeah,
whatever.
No big deal. Nah, you know, whatever. Just hanging out backstage with Rob Zombie and stuff. It's whatever. Yeah.
Did you really get to do that?
Oh, I did, yeah. He got introduced to me. That was pretty cool.
What?
Yeah. But, you know, let's just steer it back to Bucks Belmar, because he and I have both advanced in the championship tournament, which
Remind
is really...
Us how that first round battle went for you. You took on...
I took on Dasher Hatfield. Our match revolved around rock, paper, scissors, which is, I guess, different. Not really what I'm used to doing. But eventually my paper palm strike got to... break through his scissors.
I was like, old-timey wrestling is very different from what I understand.
Quite a bit.
Seems to involve a lot of rock, paper, scissors.
A lot of rock, paper, scissors. because,
as I can tell from
you know, after Pistols at Dawn became unfashionable, that was all people did, you know. You disrespected somebody, it was rock, paper, scissors at midnight, and that's what happened. And one of you had to go if you lost.
How much work have you done with the Chikara promotion?
With the Chikara promotion? I wrestled with Chikara for quite a number of years. When I was 18, so a while ago. Yeah, I'm 25 now. You can do the math. At
home. I was gonna be like, I was like,
I don't really
dating
feel like doing the math, but I mean, I did some pretty cool stuff there. I was I main evented the ECW Arena. I was part of the Kings of Wrestling. I was part of the Fabulous Three with Mitch Ryder and the late Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney.
Because there seems to be a pretty good relationship between, I mean, just from what I could see here, between Battle War and Chikara.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
you know,
3.0 showed off the belts here a
that's
while
it,
ago.
Yeah. You know, Dasher and I actually, we used to room together back in Chikara, so it was kind of fun. It was the first time I got to wrestle him in 7-8 years, so that was
pretty scouted, so you'd scouted, so all of his offense was well scouted.
Not at all.
No.
I had no idea what I was going into. No. He was still creative wrestler back then, and then he became Moscow, the communist bovine, and he went on to become Dasher Hatfield. And
sorry, did you say he used to, his formerly known as creator wrestler?
Yes, that's right. He originally started with a fan-made contest where they literally made him into a creator wrestler, and the fans could submit their ideas for the character, and the winner got to be that's the gimmick he would portray for the year. And
wow.
Originally, he was Moscow.
I was going to be like, so he'd be that guy for the night. You're like, no, the year.
No, the year,
like,
yeah.
He'd slap you with their fan-made gimmick.
That's it. The year after that, I think he was Ultimo Breakfast, where he just came in and had very breakfast-themed gimmicks, which, I mean, hey, that's entertaining, too.
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
The most important meal of the day, absolutely. I've never eaten breakfast.
Has been, and also, breakfast, to me, has a strong tie with wrestling, because Saturday Morning Superstars.
There you go.
That's where a lot of people watch their first pro wrestling was Saturday morning.
I don't even remember my first pro wrestling. I'll tell you what, after 8 concussions, Saturday morning cartoons are just gone in my memory banks.
They just don't exist anymore.
They just do not exist anymore.
What the fuck is he,
and you also, and you sustained I'm trying to think of the scientific name for a broken nose, but
messed up face.
Messed up face.
Oculus.
There wasn't any, do you not think there was a concussion involved?
No, my nose just cracked again, and I bled like a stuffed pig, and I have a nice little gash here that I probably should have got stitches on, but I just didn't care. I finished the match, and I got to do something cool. I got to wipe my blood in my hand and chop somebody, so scratch that one off the bucket list.
I think that sounds like it's from the Bucks Belmar playbook.
You guys
might get along a little
maybe
better.
Maybe we will. I mean, you
look
know...
Look at you wiping your bodily fluids on people.
I'm really evolving as a professional wrestler right now. You know, the thing about Bucks and I is that... we've wrestled each other so many times that I know what he wants to do when he doesn't even say it, and I think he knows the same about me, is that he can kind of choreograph and telegraph my moves. So in terms of could we be a cohesive unit, definitely. Will we be a cohesive unit? Well, that's really up to Bucks Belmar.
I guess that puts a fine point in it. How do you feel your odds are going on to the six-man scramble for the belt?
How do I feel about that? You know, my Chikara experience has given me quite a bit of experience in multi-man style matches.
Right.
And in terms of just who wants it the most, I don't think there's anybody here who wants it as badly as I do. This is my hometown. It's the only promotion in Montreal I work for anymore. And when I started my wrestling career almost 11 years ago, you know, it wasn't really to win championships, but... it was mostly just to be accepted. I had been bullied and beaten on for my entire life as a small ginger, and for a number of years I was just very bitter about that, and it came off in my wrestling and came off in my treatment of the crowd. But as the crowd got more and more behind me, I realized that, hey, finally some people do appreciate me for who I am, and I think I kind of bring that to the ring now, and it's the reason why I go out of my way to make the crowd happy and to do what I can to appease the crowd, is that the crowd here at Battle War really feels like a family. It really feels like that tight-knit community that I never had growing up. So to be able to win that championship and win it for the people who have really given me something special, given me something that I've never really been able to experience in my life, well, I mean, that means a lot to me. And I mean, as people have seen here in Battle War, it takes a lot to put me down. And when I'm passionate about something and when I really am on fire, I don't know, pound for pound, I don't see who in the company could really take me out.
Well...
Do you have a final, because it's a scramble elimination, as they said?
Yeah.
I believe there is.
So do you have a final two? Who do you think is going to be the guy standing there with you in the final two?
I mean, right now, who's in there? Mike Bailey, Bucks Belmar, and myself.
And then we have the matches tonight.
Then we have the matches tonight. We have so. Guys like Player Uno, Tank Rukin. Who else is in there? I'm not quite sure.
Well, I think
Giant Tiger is going against Sexy Eddie.
There's
Big Bad Quentin.
Who's Quentin facing?
Quentin's
facing Eddie.
Quentin is facing Eddie.
Oh, so who's Tiger facing then?
Tiger is facing a woman by the name...
Vanessa Craven?
Vanessa Craven.
Is it Vanessa?
The Montagne.
Yes, Vanessa Craven, yeah.
The big mountain. Well, I don't think she'll be in there, but other than that... No, I'm just kidding.
Ooh.
Vanessa Craven. I kid. I mean, any of those guys and girls...
And one girl.
Yeah. And Player Uno that we have mentioned. They're all, you know, very talented individuals. And... It really could be anybody. If you want to give me a final two, I'll say me and anybody else. And
that's fair.
Whoever else it is,
I'm not really
worried. Do you
have a favorite?
Really
just someone you want to be in the final two?
I want Bucks Belmar in the finals.
Whoa.
I do. I don't think that there's any possible opponent for me where I'd be more inspired and more willing to put my body on the line than against Bucks Belmar because of our history. And me bringing that kind of intensity to the table can only do... good things in terms of me winning a championship. So, hey, let's bring the personal feud in there. Let's bring the heat. Let's bring the fire. And maybe we can just go out in a blaze of glory together.
Putting money on it literally as we speak. On my
those are your final two?
My gambling application.
Yes.
I believe it's on Mizdojer. I'm pretty sure
Battle
Royale is
on Mizdojer.
I believe so.
Look up Lutte.
Lutte. That's what they used to play in the medieval times.
Sting played it more recently.
Right.
A couple solo.
Right, the lute. And that's where you bet on. You place your chips into the lute, and you
into the lute, and money comes back if you put it in the right lute.
If you put the money in the lute, and then
he plays
your song that you requested, you get money.
Yes.
Growing up Jewish, I think that actually is how we've taken over the world's finances. So
that's how.
Let's try to keep that a secret.
My understanding is that's how banks work.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's funny that you only mentioned that now because you had the redhead thing going for you, and you were little.
Yeah.
And I am Jewish.
That's true.
Trifecta,
I've got so many things going against me, and somehow I still keep winning matches. I don't know why. But
it's the World Bank.
It might be that. Yeah. It might be the secret conspiracy. We were talking about that secret coalition
exactly.
of gingers all over the world.
And the GWO.
That's
not helping.
That's
cause.
It. I mean, hey, secrets are secrets, though. We can't talk too much about that.
What's this?
All right.
I don't know.
You're being summoned by the authority.
I am being summoned.
The authority.
That is very...
the Battle War authority.
That's very ominous, isn't it? Right after we talk about secret societies, I'm being summoned away.
This interview needs to end now as we're talking about secret societies. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Break a leg, figuratively.
Look forward to your match tonight.
I'd rather not break any more bones of my own, but
hey,
if TDT gets in my way, who knows what'll happen.
And good luck on December 8th.
Thank you.
And see if you're next time we see you have like gold around your waist.
Hey, maybe some gold.
At the very least, Bucks Belmar.
Around my waist? No, but at the very least, gold. And if not, anybody who would like to buy me a beer, I'm always accepting. So please, come see me. I'm very friendly, and I get even more so when I'm drunk. So As all gingers do. I got to be a stereotype the most I can, and that's one of them. So, hey, I'll play into it.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Hey,
I feel like I should have elaborated on the Super Dragon thing.
Instead of just clapping and then being like,
instead of interrupting Beef's anecdote by just clapping.
Just clapping in his face.
I can't help it.
I'm Super Dragon.
Super
Dragon.
I wanted to know if he knew about that.
I guarantee you he knew about it. Everybody fucking knows about it. Everybody knows. I feel that if you've been a pro wrestler for 12 years or whatever, that beef has been. So anyway, kids.
So that was wrestling.
Yeah, so this was our Battle War special.
Battle War Huge Ultimate Special.
I feel like we could do another one of these literally anytime.
Yeah, or at least.
Coming up in the new year, I think we should just have Battle War specials. Just get some Battle War people on and do it. Do it to it. The only thing that I feel that's really weird is, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we're in the closed down, currently not open to the public, Fufuna Electrique. And
we just got warning to clear out
of
the room.
But apparently the big downside of doing in the not open to the public Fufuna Electrique is the fact that it's not open to the public and they're not serving booze.
Yeah, which is
a huge downside.
We're looking one of the biggest bars in the city and
we can't get a goddamn drink to save our lives.
Right.
Except for the ones that we snuck in.
Who do we have to dick face around? We did. Don't say that.
I know. What are they gonna listen?
Who do we got to dick face around here to get a drink? You know what I'm saying?
Mike Patterson. So this is Go Plug Yourself. Those are the stars of Battle War.
Episode 47.
Yeah. So Dirty Bucks Belmar. Big thanks. Thanks to Superstar Shane Hawk. Thanks
Superstar
to
Shane Hawk.
Hardcore Hero. The Green,
the Green Phantom.
Phantom, and I don't know if there's a tag up for beef, the beefiest of the beef Wellington
and Beef Wellington.
Yeah, we'll have more people on. I hope you enjoy the show and come out to Battle War for Fufuna Electrique December 8th.
That's gonna be tits.
Yeah, Sunday December 8th.
If I had to, you know,
give it a body part, you'd give it tits.
Tits. Say it's going to be like...
Six-man scramble elimination match. Heard it here first, kids. That's how it's going to go down.
I think in this case, if you get it up, I don't know. They might actually hear it here first.
Yeah.
They might.
Yeah, we should leverage it.
Yeah, this is... I like that we've become the official, like, the pre-show for Battle War.
Pre-show.
The pre-show Battle War.
Anyway, kids.
This is the free part.
Yeah. This is like the pre-match. All right,
oh,
anyway.
Can I plug my thing?
No.
No?
Yeah, no, you do. You have Miss Sugar Puss coming out
Miss
to Night
Sugar
Fight.
Miss Sugar Puss is going to be on Night Fight.
Is she going to be on the podcast?
No. At some point we could work that out, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I should have totally worked it out for this one, but whatever.
Yeah. We've talked about that. She's one of our wants.
Yeah. But she's going to be on the couch for a Night Fight November 22nd, and that's going to be awesome.
Musical guest?
Well, so far she's going to be like our kind of our guest of honor. She's going to be on the couch and she's going to be performing a signature burlesque number and more surprise guests yet to be announced. Hence the surprise.
I.e. not finalized yet.
Or it's a surprise.
We have words in show business. There doesn't mean surprise.
It's a surprise, Keith.
Thank you, Walder. So this is Go Plug Yourself. I'm Keith.
Walder.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in next 2 weeks from now for something. Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh, man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure, as always, to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?